The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Wow. Come on, y'all. Russell Wilson. Holy. Very exciting. You know, once we knew that Russell could be available, he was our number one target. He was our priority for the offseason. We were going to do anything it took to get Russ.
Came here for one reason, and that's to win. And that's what I believe in. So every day, what you're going to get from me is that mentality. You're going to get that juice. You're going to get that energy. You're going to get that focus. And we're going to do it together. All the guys back there, we're going to do it together. That's what it takes. But we're here for one thing, and it's to win. It's to win at the highest level often. And I'm excited about it. I'm excited about the journey. And Broncos country, let's ride.
There it is. It's Let's Ride. No, it's Let's Ride.
Let's Ride.
Let's Ride. I think it's Let's Ride.
That could be
not
good.
Not Go Bronx.
Okay.
Let's Ride.
Let's
you ride,
ride
the Bronco.
Yeah.
Ride the Bronco, baby.
Yeehaw! Riding the Bronco, baby.
So, Russell Wilson, now a Bronco. And they made it clear yesterday. Well, I don't know if they made it clear. I don't know if they convinced anyone. But
they're
George
trying.
Payton finally said publicly what they've been saying privately for the past week and a half, that Russell Wilson was their top target in free agency. And look, when you consider that, as we've said, Aaron Rodgers is in the year-to-year phase of his career. Russell Wilson clearly has a lot left in the tank. You want an answer not just for 1 or 2 years.
I mean,
if Rodgers goes to the Broncos and they win the Super Bowl this year, he potentially says, I'm out. I'm done.
Right, right.
See you later. Go back to Brock Osweiler.
Yeah, right. I know. I don't believe them. I still think Rodgers was the first choice. I don't believe them, but – and like we discussed last week, yeah, I think it's kind of a blessing in disguise because you got something to build off of here. Instead of, yes, Aaron Rodgers, wins the Super Bowl in year one or year two and then decides to walk away or, you know, just goes, hey, it's been good for these 2 years. I'm out of here. You're right back in the same spot. So Russell Wilson with, what, one more year left on his contract, what they traded for him, they're going to sign him to a long-term deal. We've talked about they got a young back, some young receivers. They got something they can really grow together and build something. That's why I love the Russell Wilson trade for the Broncos.
And if there was any doubt, here's Russell Wilson talking about his intended timeline for the balance of his career, plus the objectives that he has for the number of championships he'll eventually be securing.
My goal is to play 10 to 12 more years and hopefully win 3 to 4 more Super Bowls. That's the plan. So I think that's the mindset. That's why I came here, to hopefully be able to finish my career here and to finish on top as a champion, you know, and do it multiple times. So
I would just focus on one. For now.
Yeah, don't
haven't
be the Chiefs, right? Yeah.
In the aftermath of the Chiefs, right. Don't start piling up Super Bowl. No.
LeBron.
Let's just one. Yeah. It's been a long time. It's been 9 years since I've held that Lombardi trophy. I want to get the Broncos back into that kind of a place. Don't start saying 3 or 4. And it was 3 when he was with Seattle. Now it's 3 or 4. Pretty soon it's going to be 5 or 6. And I have no problem with having high expectations. I have no problem with that. No problem. But let's just focus on the next one. That's what Tom Brady always said. What's your favorite championship? The next one. Just focus on the next one, and we'll see where it goes. The better news for the Broncos, Chris, 10 to 12 more years for Russell Wilson.
Right.
That puts him into his 40s, And that means that for the next decade, they've solved their quarterback issue as long as his body holds up.
That's right. And they got a chance to have that here with Russell Wilson. And he's one of those guys, again, I don't know if I'm going to say he's TB12, but he's TB12-ish, I think, with his psychoness as far as how he works. He takes care of his body. I mean, the damn guy built a football field in his backyard, okay? That's all you got to know about Russell Wilson. There is a freaking football field in his backyard. And I think I even heard there's a football field in his vacation house backyard, if I remember correctly from what people have told me. So that's, he's obsessed with his craft. He does have incredible self-belief, and that belief filters through an organization. Again, Russell Wilson's one of those guys, when he's on your team and you walk on the field, you just go, well, we got a chance to win today. Three's playing quarterback. So I love it. I really do. I'm excited to see it and see what he can bring to the table there. And you know what else I love? I love Nate Hackett, too, just there. You know, again, I'm enjoying some of the refreshing new head coaches in football who aren't cookie cutter and think they got to act. Him coming up, faking, you know, Russell Wilson. I mean, you could tell he's excited. He's a fan himself. He loves this sport. I think there's a cool new energy there in Denver that I'm kind of can't wait to see.
It was 10 years ago this month,
yeah,
that Peyton Manning was introduced as the new quarterback of the Denver Broncos. And it just dawned on me, and I checked the birthdays just to be sure. Peyton Manning was 35 at the time that happened. Russell Wilson is 33. And you would never think that they were basically the same age.
No, you're right.
When they arrived in Denver.
Right. You felt like Peyton was on his last leg. Like, damn, he's limping into the finish line here. That's what you kind of felt like here. You didn't know what he was going to be. And, of course, he was awesome that, you know, his first few years there and setting records. But, yes, there is a totally different perception around this. And again, we've discussed with Russell Wilson, as great as he is, you know, we do. I think we both noticed, and, you know I said it, and you've I think, noticed it as well, where he's not quite as elusive and as fast as we used to see. He's not. There's a little bit more of playing within the pocket and doing that, which, you know, speaks to, yes, he's getting up there in age a little bit, but he's going to do everything to fight, you know, Father Time, certainly. I do trust that in Russell Wilson.
Now, Peyton Manning was available 10 years ago because the Colts said, see you later, we're going to get Andrew Luck. There's a lingering question as to why Russell Wilson was available. Let's hear from some of the people who spoke yesterday on whether this was Russell wanting out, the Seahawks wanting to move on, or a mutual decision. Here's some of the folks who spoke at yesterday's press conferences.
I did initiate it. It was definitely mutual along the way. There's definitely been a lot of conversations. It hasn't been I initiated anything, but it is what it is. I'm happy to be here. That's all I know. Obviously, I'm happy about the 10 years I've had, but I think that, we'll have to read about it later. We'll have some fun maybe with my book one day. We'll have some good stories.
I know Russ may describe it differently, but I really, as I watched it all take place, I think Russ was really, he was open for another chance.
We were under the impression that there wouldn't be a long-term extension.
Well, and that's really what it came down to. And the last time he signed a contract, I'm fairly confident I wrote a story saying this is going to be the last deal.
You did.
Deal
100%. You did, 100%. I know you did. I can remember it.
And I got shouted down.
Yeah.
Shouted down. That's all right. I can take it. Especially if I'm vindicated on the back end. Even if I'm not, I can still take it. But this was not on the same plane. You've got Russell Wilson believing that he's Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers. And he's got every reason to feel that way. But you have the Seahawks never using him like he's Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers. That was the problem. That's where the whole let Russ cook thing came from. It was an implied threat to the Seahawks that if you don't let Russ cook, he's going to find another kitchen.
Right.
And they never fully embraced what he wanted to do. He wants the offense to run through him. We've talked about this time and again, but it's important to point it out now because to the extent it was mutual, it was mutual by way of action, right? That Russell did want out, but the reason he wanted out is because they never properly used him, and they never fully embraced him. And at some point, he's going to want to be paid in a way that the Seahawks look at it and say, we can't justify this because we don't use him like one of those guys.
Yeah,
it was coming.
Right.
It was the next contract.
Right.
That's when it was going to go off the rails permanently for the Seahawks and Russell Wilson. So you do it now, you get more for him. And you know, the Seahawks, look, I need to confirm with someone what I can and can't say about this. But I can say this, because it's obvious from yesterday's public remarks. When Pete Carroll said 2 weeks ago, we have no intention to trade Russell Wilson, number one, that was a clear invitation to approach the Seahawks about changing their intention. Number two, it was kind of not the truth, because they were actively negotiating with the Broncos
a flat-out lie.
On a Russell Wilson trade at the time.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, yes, we know that in hindsight now, that at least there was a conversation and, you know, some tracks laid down as far as the parameters of the trade. Good for the Seahawks is what I say with this. I say good for the Seahawks here in the fact that they stuck up for themselves. You know, I think we had three different comments, one from ownership, the GM, and Pete Carroll. They all said the same thing. And ownership really came out and said it, that Russell wanted a change. Russell was very uncomfortable answering that question in that media press conference yesterday in Denver. That was the face of, oh, yeah, it was mutual. Not really. We know that. Russell, he's political that way. He doesn't want to hurt the fan base in Seattle. He wanted out. He was telling everybody that. And you're right. He had some justification in the way he wanted to play a little bit. And again, he does. He views himself as one of those elite quarterbacks. He is. He is one of those guys. But Seattle likes to play football a different way. And we thought they were going to make that transition in the 2020 season where you went, okay, wow, all right, maybe they are going to let Russ cook. And it was he was on fire, and he was the MVP of football through 10 weeks. And then he had one or two bad games, and it's like the coaching staff said, all right, that's way too risky. Let's go back to running the ball between the tackles on first and second down and just keep the game close, and we'll let Russell make a play at the end and bring us back. And that's a hard way to play quarterback too. And that's the situation he was in his career, you know, stuck in his whole career. So I understand him not wanting to be a part of that and want to take advantage of what he thinks is his amazing skill set.
I know that there was surprise in Denver at the statements that you saw on the screen from Jody Allen, the owner of the team, Pete Carroll, the head coach, John Schneider, the GM, harping on this idea that Russell wanted out. That was met with surprise by the folks who were assembled in Denver yesterday, that there wasn't a more graceful separation, that it really wasn't about laying blame yesterday. It was about everybody moving on in a positive way. And Pete pointed this out last night. Pete's starting to learn how to stir the crap a little bit here and get me riled up. He knows how to push my buttons to get me to do something that, you know, is going to get people maybe agitated. But Seahawks PR put out a tweet that I think was shade at Russell Wilson. Thank you to one of the best Seahawks quarterbacks in franchise history. One of the best? Are you freaking kidding me? One of the best? Look at the numbers. Look at the accomplishments. Sorry, Matt Hasselbeck. Sorry, Jim Zorn. Sorry, Charlie Whitehurst. Sorry, Dave Craig and your tiny little Jared Goff hands. No. Russell Wilson is the best quarterback in Seahawks history, bar none. It's not even close. It's not even subject to debate. Don't give me this one of the best. And they knew what they were doing when
they did
that way, Chris.
Well, listen, they've been dealing with Russell Wilson shade for the last 2 years. I'm not mad at them. You know, again, he gets to throw shade and make cryptic comments and talk behind their backs for 2 years. And then what, they're supposed to sit there and go, oh, yeah, it's mutual, and take crap from their fan base and just go, oh, yeah, we wanted to get rid of Russell Wilson. You know, they got to defend themselves in the public eye a little bit too. So I'm not mad at them for that. I'm not. I mean, again, I think what they did yesterday, it wasn't about a send-off. They got to portray to their fan base that they didn't just sell away, you know, Russell Wilson, a franchise elite quarterback in football, just because they thought they had to make the roster moves. They were forced to do that. They were letting their fan base know that yesterday. So that's official, and we know that. And I'm not mad at them even for throwing some shade. It was shade.
I know, but you think it crosses the line? I hate this phrase when it's directed at me, but they're better than that. They are. They shouldn't have done that. They shouldn't have given in to temptation. He's going back there this year to play. If anything, you want to be sucking up to Russell Wilson. You don't want to give him any extra incentive to come back and kick your ass.
They're going to want to kick his ass just as badly, you know. And it's rare. You're right. You know, one of the great quarterbacks. Yeah, well, listen, they've had to deal with a lot of Russell Wilson rumors and BS over the last 3 years. I mean,
it's their own fault. It's their own fault.
Okay,
it's their own fault for not using him properly.
Well, I get it.
You said it yourself.
They don't use him the right way. I get it. I know.
They alienated him one day at a time.
They made it very tough on him, and it's not a quarterback friendly environment. It's also what they are too. And then again, they won a Super Bowl playing that way. They were a foot away and a stupid play call from winning the second one too, with running the ball, playing defense, and yeah, you're not going to break Pete Carroll out of that mold too much. That's for sure, and that's where it all went wrong.
Here's John Schneider, GM of the Seahawks, talking about the quarterback they picked up in the trade for Russell Wilson, Drew Lock.
We'll continue to explore options, but we have a ton of faith in Drew. We're excited about it. We're excited about a change of scenery for him. I know a couple of my buddies that were trying to acquire him all last spring into the fall. You know, so he's a guy that, in my opinion, the media is beat down a little bit. So we're excited to get him into our culture.
Yeah, it's the media's fault, John. It's the media's fault that the guy's been injured, the guy hasn't been effective, the guy's had chances to win the job, couldn't beat out Teddy Bridgewater. It's our fault. We'll accept that. Tom Brady Sr. and John Schneider piling on the media this week for creating problems for quarterback careers. Thanks, John. It's all our fault.
Well, I don't think it's that literal. I don't. People have been a little unfair to Drew Lock. They have been. But you're right. I mean, there's questions. I get it. But, you know, the narrative was even written for Drew Lock before he got in there this year to play. I mean, people were already trying to say that stuff. I think people have been a hair unfair. I'm not going to disagree with them there. But, you know, yes, Drew Lock didn't necessarily take advantage of his opportunities or take the reins and run with it. That's for sure. So there's justified, questions about his game. We will say, and I think we agree here, there is potential for Drew Lock. There is. Drew Lock is one of those guys where he has all the tools as far as physically to be an NFL starting quarterback for a long time. Moves well, has a big time arm, good size, doesn't seem like he's, an idiot in any way, but he just made that dumb interception every time he's kind of got a chance. And maybe it will be good for him to get a new start and just refresh, and maybe he can revamp his career here.
By the way, we got to take a break, but I have to mention this.
Yeah.
Because one of the things George Payton said about Russell Wilson is he's a winner, and that's a finable offense in these parts. Although I still think that quarterbacks can influence winning. There's so much that goes into it. Quarterbacks can move the needle, but this all over the top, he's a winner.
Oh,
winner.
I can't
His
stand
presence
it.
Just makes
right.
It. Well, let me share with you a quote from the past.
Yeah.
What he has in his passion for this game and for winning, he's been a winner, and you could see why. That was made by a certain Broncos coach named Josh McDaniels regarding a certain Broncos quarterback named Tim Tebow 12 years ago. So he was a winner too.
Oh,
how did
gosh.
That work out
oh, I know.
For you, Denver?
Oh, I know. I love that. The winner thing. Yeah. But for some reason, Tom Brady wasn't a winner really at Michigan. Oh, that's right. He got to, he got to New England and got a team around him and got coached a little better. He's a winner. Patrick Mahomes apparently wasn't a winner at Texas Tech either. They went 4-7 his last year. Oh, that's right. You need a team and some help. Oh, Tim Tebow was a winner in Florida on the All-Star team, one of the greatest teams in college? No, really? Really? I mean, no. With an All-Star team, they won a lot of games there? Shocker. Man, winner. I hate that crap. I hate it. You're right.
All right, let's take a break. Some more moves as NFL free agency continues. We'll do that when PFT Live returns right after this.
Want the same expert advice you get from the pros in the store while shopping online at DiscountTire.com? Meet Treadwell, your personal online tire guide that matches you with the perfect tire for your vehicle. Get your best match in 1 minute or less with Treadwell by Discount Tire. Let's get you taken care of.
It's a very good chance.
He's not going to be bringing you along.
Thank you. I think I'll let him have a little scare.
Oh, yeah?
A couple months without me, and then,
Too bad doing the
He just did it to me for a couple of months.
Thank you, my friend.
Where was Rob Gronkowski at? An ice
that
cream
looks
shop?
Like
what was that?
It's a barber shop. It looks like he's in Tampa
still,
too. So.
Barber shop.
Yes.
All right. Gronk says there's a very good chance he's going to return. If you couldn't hear what he was saying there, basically he wants to give Tom Brady a little scare because Brady gave him a little scare. And I will not be surprised at all if Gronk is back, because Brady is doing everything he can to convince people to re-sign or stay or do whatever he has to do to have the players he trusts. And he clearly trusts Rob Gronkowski. He's going to want him on the Bucs again.
100%. And they're doing everything to, you know, appeal to Tom Brady. I think once he made the thing he was coming back, it almost seems like they came, okay, we'll do this, we'll do this, we'll do this, and we'll do this. All right, sounds good, Tom. I mean, I would be shocked. I'd be shocked if Rob Gronkowski is in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Yes. I mean, he's Brady's favorite target of all time, to the point that sometimes where it actually hurts Brady, to where when they play teams like the Saints and all that, he hangs on them so long and they're all over him, but he's still like, damn, I'm going to fit it into him to a degree. But, yeah, it's one of the greatest combinations in the history of football. They'll be back together.
One guy who's sticking around beyond this year, Chris Godwin, franchise tagged a second time, agreed to a 3-year contract, $60 million with $40 million fully guaranteed at signing. Look, this is always a challenge. When you're talking about doing a contract for a guy who's on his second tag, because he's 1 year away from unrestricted free agency. I know he's coming off of the torn ACL, and you know he's probably got Brady working on him. I wouldn't have done it if it was me. Now, it's easy to say that because I'm not the one walking away from $40 million fully guaranteed. But the balance is, do I take roughly 20 for this year and then become a free agent and get whatever I can on the open market next year? Or do I take the 40 and move on? And he's choosing to take the 40. You know, he's up near, what, $55 million over the last 2 years when you look at the full guarantee that he's got. So he did the safer thing, and it's probably what I would do if I was faced with that choice at the end of the day, because you spend all year worried that you're going to blow your shot at free agency and that $20 million is going to disappear.
Right. I mean, because he went through that fear this year. I mean, he probably went through that fear when he got hurt, going, oh, no, what's going to happen? Damn, I'm not going to get my long-term contract. Hopefully the Bucs have realized that things are progressing nicely with that knee. He is a hell of a football player. His game is not all about speed and cutting. You know, I know receiver, of course, obviously you got to do that, but he's got better size. He's a bigger human being than I think people realize too. That's where he's special. And I think I'm with you. If I'm him and in his shoes, I'd probably take this as well.
Elsewhere, O.J. Howard, former Buccaneers tight end, goes to Buffalo on a 1-year deal. You know, there was talk that maybe they'd go after Gronk, bring him home. He spent some of his formative years in Buffalo. Howard is a guy who was just kind of odd man out in Tampa Bay, and he always had that feeling. First rounder out of Alabama, did his 5 years with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and now he moves on. He only had 135 receiving yards last year, even though he played in every single game for the first time in his career. So with Brady back, that's all the more reason for Howard to not go back. If Brady isn't trusting, if Brady isn't throwing it to him, he goes to a place where you got a quarterback that needs weapons, and maybe O.J. Howard can blossom with the Bills, Chris.
Yeah, that's right. I think there's still some untapped potential. It might be one of those where you just look at it and go, man, this guy needs to get into a new place and just, you know, refresh his career a little bit. Like Evan Ingram, we saw him do that going down to Jacksonville. Yeah, there's, you know, a bad perception around him. Oh, he was a bust. He hasn't lived up to his capabilities. Maybe get in a new place with Buffalo, Josh Allen and company. You don't have that pressure on you anymore. They can slowly kind of infuse him and get him confident again, because he is big, he blocks well, and he can really run. So there is a lot there. He just hasn't pieced it all together there. Maybe he can do that in Buffalo.
Julio Jones cut by the Tennessee Titans. This is not a surprise at all. It was a disaster last year for Julio Jones in Tennessee. He missed 7 games, had career lows in targets with 48, receptions 31, receiving yards 434, and touchdowns. He had 1, even lower than in 2013 when he only played in 5 games. So I don't know if it continues for Julio Jones. My concern is that on the open market, the offers he gets will be regarded by him as not enough to justify continuing to play.
I don't think it's going to be much. There's got to be concern. I know earlier this week we discussed this. I think this is a thing on NFL radars. It really is. Julio Jones and J.J. Watt opened up people's eyes last year. Guys with injury histories, we paid them big money later in their career. Why? I think those are kind of like, you know, lessons for some teams. And that's why I think we've seen the market not necessarily be that great for that kind of player here, where we kind of go, hey, it's a household name, but there's some of that, you know, age and injury history behind it. Julio's days of getting top tier money or anything like that are certainly done. And it will be interesting to see the market. I expect Julio, Mike, I don't know how you feel. It's going to be one of those where if he does play, he's going to wait it out, wait to see what team really needs him, a contender, and then he jumps on that type of football team. That's what I expect to see.
Yeah, if you're not getting big money, there is no reason to rush into it. You can skip the offseason program. You can show up in training camp or even later than that if you want. You can wait until the season starts to unfold. If you're going to be playing for peanuts, then you wait to try to get that Super Bowl ring that you almost had in 2015 with the Atlanta Falcons. All right, let's go ahead and take a break. Overtime, speaking of games that ended with walk-off first drive overtime touchdowns, it was Super Bowl 51 that was one of the ones that happened that way. Some changes potentially for overtime coming for the NFL. We'll tell you what the current proposals are right after this.
All right, it's NCAA bracket time, baby. Mike, get yours filled out, all right? If you need help filling out your NCAA men's tournament bracket, NBC Sports has you covered with Bet the Edge, brackets and bets on the NBC Sports Edge YouTube channel. You'll get advice on every first round game and best bets for the whole tournament. Let's go, Florio. Get it together. Let's go. Me and you, let's fill one out after the show. We'll bet $100, and let's just see who gets it right. Let's just do that.
No.
I still owe you two steak dinners, I believe.
I'd forgotten all about that. You can keep the two steak dinners if I don't have to do the bracket. We'll call it even if I don't have to do the bracket. I'm sorry. I just have no interest in it
whatsoever. We'll never
see
each other again
and
for
I know
me to give you a steak.
Everybody, anyways. Well, that is, you have no idea how accurate that statement is, frankly. But at the same time, I will never do another bracket. And because everybody's like, you got to do a bracket. Screw you. I'm not doing a bracket. Quit telling me to do a bracket. I'm going to do an anti-bracket.
We know you are.
I'm going to do a bracket of all the teams that didn't make it into the tournament. I'm only going to list teams that aren't playing.
They call that the NIT. There's a bracket for that,
too. Do they still do the NIT?
Yeah, they do.
The NIT?
Yes.
All right. I didn't know that. Here's something that you may not know. The NFL has several different teams that are proposing changes to overtime. The Colts and the Eagles want to guarantee both teams an opportunity to possess the ball. This is the fix that I think the NFL will adopt. The idea that whoever kicked off to start overtime, if the team that receives scores a touchdown, the other team gets a chance to match it. The Titans have a twist there.
Mm.
If the team that gets the ball first scores a touchdown, goes for two, and gets it, the game's over, which is fascinating because if you don't get it, then the other team has a chance to score a touchdown and win it with a one-pointer. I don't like that one. That's a gimmick. See, they don't want gimmicks. That's just enough of a gimmick that they won't do it. I think the Colts-Eagles proposal has a chance. You need 24. If they don't change it now, they're never going to. After the Chiefs-Bills epic divisional round game that ended in a way that left us all wanting more and feeling like the Bills got screwed, this is the time to do it. It's an easy fix. It's fair. Postseason only. It's a fair outcome, and I hope they do it.
I'm with you, too. I was a guy for a long time that was, man, the defense, it's their job. They're making millions too. Make some stops. I think, you know, between the quarterbacks in the NFL, the rules swayed so much to the offensive side of the ball. I don't feel that way anymore. There's just too much of an advantage to the offense and to, you know, the teams with great quarterbacks there. So, yes, I want to see a change as well. I've changed my thought after thinking about it a lot, really, after this game. It really did. This game changed it, like, final, period. I'm with you in the Titans thing a little bit, where it's interesting to think about, but still, if we applied it to that game right there, and Patrick Mahomes got the two-point conversion, I'd still be sitting here going, wait, Josh Allen will go down and score a touchdown and get a two-point conversion, too? That's not fair. I mean, so that's where I don't love it, is for that game specifically. I wouldn't want to see that. So, let's just play it out.
Yeah, and look, if the Bills had scored, let's say the Chiefs get 7 on that opening drive, then the Bills have to choose between go for two and go for the win or the loss, or go for one and you know it's sudden death going forward. So you do have some control premised on what your offense can do, not what your defense can do. And the rules are so slanted in favor of the offense. And by the time you get to the playoffs, usually you got pretty good quarterbacks who know how to move the ball. You don't get that far in the season. That's why I don't want it for the regular season. End the games. I'd be fine with going back to straight sudden death, frankly, in the regular season. I think that this rule needs to happen. If the NFL gives a crap about this sense of fairness and satisfaction and that the better team wins, this is the way to get closer to that result. Let's take a break. With all the edge rushers switching teams, we're going to draft the best current pass rush duos in the NFL. We'll do that when PFT Live continues right after this. What are you doing with the black? What's with all the black? You look like you're going to a funeral.
Well, maybe I am. Maybe I am. I'm always like all black, all blue, all gray. That's kind of what I do. It makes life simple.
But black is my territory for Thursday. Stay out of my backyard.
Oh, is that what you're telling me? Okay, that's trouble. What you meant by that.
Yeah.
What was his name? What the hell?
EJ.
Mugatu, you're Mugatu. You only turn left with your blue steel look into the camera. Zoolander, right.
Well, EJ putting in the work, turning that around before the end of the show. Well done.
Way to go, E.
We're going to do a draft of the best pass rush duos, and it's amazing how things change in just 1 year. Chris and I were both cramming in our research to try to come up with ideas for the best pass rush duos, and most of the best ones from last year have already broken up.
It's crazy.
Via free agency and trades. It's incredible. Most important position other than quarterback on the field, and there's a lot of moving parts. So, Chris, for the first pick in this all-important best pass rush duo draft, we all know T.J. Watt had the most sacks last year with 22.5, tying Michael Strahan's asterisk record from 2001. Who was second last year with 18.5 sacks?
Oh, my gosh. Wait,
I know this one.
I'm going to choke. It's so obvious here. Hold on a second. Well, I'm going to go with Myles Garrett.
Robert Quinn.
Oh, my gosh. I knew it was somebody off the beaten path a little bit there. Damn it. I totally choked under the pressure there. Damn it. Sorry. All right, go ahead.
Garrett, set the Bears franchise record. Who's the guy that had it before? Richard Dent had it before, I believe, for the Chicago Bears. All right, first pick. Wow. Maybe I didn't want the first pick in this one. I'll go Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack. I still think Mack, if he's healthy, he's got plenty of gas in the tank. And the Chargers were so swift to get that deal done. The Bears were ready to move on. You put those two guys together, if they're both healthy, because they both had some injury issues, especially Mack lately. But Joey Bosa, Khalil Mack, that could be deadly for the Chargers.
I think so. That's the one that certainly came to my mind. There's no doubt about that. I think that is the leader. I mean, Bosa, we know, is a force of nature and definitely one of the best pass rushers in the game. Mack, maybe not quite that level as a pass rusher, but dominant in the run game too. I mean, and still a really good pass rusher, but dominant in the run game. And that's where that's going to be quite the duo there on the edge of that defense. All right, my next pick. I think I'm going to go with the one we saw yesterday. I'm going to go with the Raiders. I am. I mean, I look at the Raiders, you go Max Crosby? I mean, come on, was there a hotter edge pass rusher in football down the stretch of the season than him? Chandler Jones is still, up there in the top names of the sport as far as a guy that comes off the edge. He's getting up there in age. I know that, but I think I look at that and I go, oh, man, I don't know. That might be the second best pass rusher in football now for me.
Yeah, I think you're right. And the AFC West all of a sudden chock full of some great pass rushing duos. However, and they don't have to both be defensive ends. I mean, we've forgotten about Aaron Donald.
Well, that's what I wasn't sure. I should have clarified that. Okay. All right. Fine.
You should have.
Yeah.
Aaron Donald, Leonard Floyd. Von Miller's gone. That's fine. Aaron Donald and anyone. Aaron Donald and me would be one of the best pass rush duos in the NFL. Aaron, go do the work. I'm going to go sit over here on the sidelines and not get steamrolled by anyone. But Aaron Donald, incredible. We know that. If he's back, we assume he's back. We hope he's back. The Rams so definitely hope he's back, but I'll say Aaron Donald and Leonard Floyd.
Yeah, okay. All right, I get you there. It's
Wait, you know what? Donald said he's coming back if everyone else comes back. Von Miller's gone. Does that mean he's not coming back?
I thought about that yesterday. I did. I was like, he said if OBJ back and Von Miller back, I'm back. So I don't know. But maybe as long as he hears that the Rams tried to give him a go. I mean, it sounds like the Rams gave him a good offer, something to think about. It's just the Bills came in and killed it there. So, yeah, okay. So if we're going to go that route, right, that's going to change my tune a little bit. Then I'm going to go with, you know what? I'm going to not go with that. I'm going to just go with the Titans. I don't care. I'm going to go with what I think it will be this year. Harold Landry, we have seen, has arrived and is going to be one of the best edge pass rushers in football. Bud Dupree, I think you're going to see the guy more, again, after the guy we saw before the injury in Pittsburgh. He started rounding into form towards the end of the year last year, but he was not himself for the better part of the season. I look at that as this year to go, wow, watch out for the Tennessee Titans defense with those two guys on the edge and Jeffrey Simmons in the middle.
Yeah, that's the thing. Who's your best duo out there?
You're right. Maybe I should put Simmons instead of Bud Dupree right now and just go Simmons and Harold Landry, and I'll just throw in the Bud Dupree talking point. I think you're right. That's probably my best duo.
You can contemplate that further during the break when we return round three of the draft, the best pass rush duos in the NFL. We'll be back with more PFT Live right after this. All right, final round of the best pass rush duo draft. Boy, I could go a lot of different ways here. I think I am going to go, I don't know about this. I'm struggling. Let me go Von Miller and Gregory Rousseau, just because I've been a Rousseau guy and I think he was really good last year. And now the sneaky great duo, assuming that Miller plays up to the contract that the Bills gave him, and they wouldn't have given it to him if they didn't think he could do it. Von Miller and Gregory Rousseau, Chris.
It's got potential, that's for sure. I mean, we know Von Miller still got gas in the tank and is a difference maker. Rousseau had his moments, no question. Certainly looks like he looks the part and is going to continue to go in the right direction. Yeah, after this, I mean, this is still tough. What I've messed up here was where we really messed up is we did not go with the Washington duo with Young and Montez.
They're on my list.
They are on your list. So they're still available. The Chiefs with Frank Clark and Chris Jones, of course, are still out there. The Eagles with Hassan Reddick and, their sweat at defense end. That's not bad. All right, I know what I'm going to do, though. I'm going to go to the Cowboys, all right, with DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons, okay? I don't know what position he is. Yeah, I don't know. You already broke the rules.
Like
screw you.
Sorry. Like that's all right. I got no problem.
He got a lot
good.
Of – I know, but, again, he's a really talented pass rusher. And I think when you get in third down and those two are on the edge, that's going to be a force to be reckoned with there in Dallas.
He bribed you with that pizza from the Super Bowl several weeks ago.
That's right.
He left the pizza
he was one. He was
I
great.
I saw you snarf it.
He was awesome. We lost the Green Bay guys on the board, Mike. I mean, Preston Smith and Rashawn Gary.
Oh, what about Randy Gregory and Bradley Chubb?
I know.
I worry is Chubb
ready?
Is he going to be healthy and good to go?
Right. You're right. We could have gone T.J. Watt, Cam Hayward. We could have gone, Za'Darius Smith and, Odafe Owe in Baltimore. I mean, there's a lot of ways to go here. Yeah.
Plenty of great pass rushers. But they need to have great pass rushers in the NFL because that's the only way to disrupt a great quarterback. Well, we move into the second official day of the new league year, but the fourth day of free agency. Plenty of stuff going on, Chris. Plenty of big names still out there, too. We're going to be tracking the moves all day long at PFT. What are you going to do this weekend? You got your three. You going to watch basketball all weekend?
No, I mean, I will watch it. I'm actually going to Florida. I'm going to go see the in-laws in Florida, okay? I got to be, a good husband and go see them. So I'm going to be down there for just the weekend, today till Sunday, and I'm back.
Well, enjoy your long weekend. Safe travels. We'll see you back here Monday. Don't get sunburned.
Thanks. I won't.
Everybody, enjoy your day. We'll see you at 5
p.m. Come meet me down there, Mike.
PM.
See ya.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.